Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me this morning to talk about an event coming up with the San Juan County Historical Society to honor a very important lady in the history of San Juan County. Connie Pruitt is here to talk with me about her mom, which a lot of folks, I think, will know the name, Mary Lou Wayburn. Connie Pruitt, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you for coming in. And I think for a lot of folks, we all have fond memories of your mom, and she was a San Juan County native. She was born here, you were telling me, and born in a midwife's house on 20th Street, right?
20th Street where Hutton Plaza is.
Okay. And how about that? And so, and she was, again, local, lived here all of her life, and wrote numerous, and I mean numerous, books about different aspects of San Juan County, different parts of the county, and still available for folks who are interested in local history, and was really, I think, thought of as the historian, basically, of the go-to person, right? When you had a question about what that building was or how that came to be or why we do it this way, your
people
mom had an answer.
Calling her, asking her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And so a couple of the books that you brought with you this morning, one is about Gubernador.
That's one of her favorite.
Right, that she had written. And so, you know, this is and Gubernador is one of those smaller communities kind of on the eastern side of the county, right?
Right, right.
Got you. But a lot of history there.
El Paso had a camp there. And
Right.
Yeah, a lot of history there. Paul Horn actually started it, and then she was contacted by the family to help with it.
To finish it up.
Yes.
Got you. And, but yeah, that was all, again, kind of made its name, I guess, during maybe some of the gas boom times, right? When you talk about El Paso Natural Gas, right?
Well,
they had a camp there.
And a lot of history before, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So she was writing about that. And then the other one that I remember, too, that I have a copy of in my house, is the big one, Homesteads to Boomtown, the big historical history of Farmington and the surrounding area. A lot of great pictures in here, a lot of great stories about the communities, and I know this took a lot of time and effort.
Right, and I think she worked with the museum on that one.
I think you're right.
For the museum.
That's true. And so it is available. There are a lot of others that are available, too, through the Historical Society.
Historical Society, she's got several family books. She worked with others to help produce their books. She worked with BLM editing their books. It was her passion.
Yeah. Research and history.
Right.
I think were the two big things, right? That
right.
she loved to do.
Right.
And talk about it.
Right.
Because she wasn't shy.
No, she was not. She's not like me. She loved to talk to anybody.
Right. And I know you, and I appreciate you coming in to talk about her, but I don't recall ever, you know, seeing her, you know, against the wall and not, I mean, she was the life of the party.
Wherever she
was.
Yes. Teaching classes for the college, doing tours for the Historical Society. It was her passion.
Right, right. Here she is doing some book signing, probably one of many
right.
book signings at, looks like Aztec Museum, we decided, right?
Right?
Pioneer Village.
Pioneer Village, outside of it.
Yeah. And gosh, for most of her life, I would say, she was active and writing and researching.
She went to college for broadcast journalism.
Okay. Right.
And was on the way to California and met my dad, so she stayed here, but then she worked at whatever KENN was before.
Okay.
I'm not sure the call sign, but.
Right.
Yeah, she had a show
early,
there.
Early radio.
Yes.
Okay.
She loved it.
Nice. Was it a music show or was she a newscaster?
She had.
Or a little of everything?
A little of everything, yeah. She
okay.
had a lot of stuff going on.
Got you. And then she transitioned to print for a while, right?
She worked at home for a while. She was very entrepreneurial.
Okay.
She worked for Geolog when I was little. And it was, you know, back in the day, they had like 3-inch strips of what the ground looked like, you know, the different minerals and things like that. And
right.
she had to color them and get it ready for them. And so she could do that at home. we were coloring alongside her, and she, when we started calling the colors dolomite and the colors of the minerals, she decided she needed to teach us regular colors.
The right colors, I see. So then, you were coloring, she was coloring these samples, the core samples that were brought up, right? And then to determine what they were from the type of rock, and then I guess you as kids learned the name of the rock, not the name of the color.
Right, right, because we could color beside her. She could do it at home when we were little.
Right.
And then she was always having these businesses. You know, if she wanted something, she invented a business to go do it so she could get it done.
There you go.
When I was, I think, just entering high school is when she started at the paper.
Okay. And what was that job like? That was a little different job too, right?
It was, and she loved it because it was production.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she worked for Lincoln, and she went back east to learn computers. And then that sparked a whole new, because she grew up without computers.
Sure.
And so that sparked another interest. My dad said, I know the order of our marriage is computers, dogs, and then me. So she, he was third. So
he understood where he ranked, I guess,
he
right?
He understood. In but she whole... loved computers, and for not growing up with one, she just...
She picked it up.
Dived right in and...
Right.
Just the opportunity to go with the newspaper, to go from hot lead to computer, just made her day.
I imagine she was fascinated by it.
She was.
And this is roughly in the 80s, probably? Is that about the time? Or
no,
late
70s? You're so kind.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Late 60s.
Late 60s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got you. And then that, and you're talking about Lincoln. That's Lincoln O'Brien.
Right.
Who owned the Daily Times at that point in time. And it was a family owned paper.
Right.
And so I think a lot of folks might remember the old building at the corner of Arrington and Allen Streets where the paper was produced. And then there was the print building a little up the road
north,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so that's kind of fond memories there too.
And that just contributed to her love of writing, because then she knew how to do the layout and the design and all that because she worked in production. So
right. Very true. And how long was she there at the paper?
She was there about a little over 14 years.
Okay. All right. So that would get us into the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that?
After that, she took a little break, and then she was contacted by somebody about applying at BLM for an editor position, I believe. So she was hired on there, and my brother tells the story. I had already moved away by then, but that her love of computers continued. So she just dove into every program they had. And so when they had problems, there was people coming to town to work on their problems. And forgive me if I have this misspoke, but and she just jumped right in to help them. So then she kind of transitioned to the networking part of it, and so she traveled all over the United States helping people with their computers.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. And again, you know, in the 80s, that was fairly newer field.
Right.
And there weren't a lot of people that knew that, which is probably why she was in such high demand and traveling all over the place.
Oh, she loved it.
Yeah. To work on stuff.
If there was a problem, she was going to figure it out.
Very true. Very true. But in the meantime, in her spare time, she'd probably kept writing too.
She did.
Yeah.
She loved and researching and going on, conducting tours and classes, and yeah, she right. just loved that.
Right.
She loved being a part of the Historical Society. They just were so good to her, and it just was a good fit.
Right. Well, and again, she's written a number of books for the Historical Society that are available, and I know that's part of the celebration that will happen next week on Wednesday, May the 3rd, 6 p.m. at the Farmington Civic Center. I want to show the poster to everybody to get an idea of this this great presentation, Historical Landscape and Writing. In addition to remembering and honoring your mom, author Ann Hillerman will be here talking about her book, and I'm going to talk with her in a moment about that. But that's what they have planned, and sounds like a nice gathering.
We're excited. We have family coming.
Right.
We have a get together, so it'll be a fun night.
Right. Very cool to talk a little bit about all that your mom did and what Ann Hillerman writes about, and just the history of the county and.
Right.
All those different types of things. Now, your mom and dad were married for 69 plus years.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty long time.
It is.
They must have met when they were younger and raised a family.
Dad came here when El Paso came, so
okay.
in 1950s.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then again, they always lived in San Juan County.
Yes.
Was it Aztec or Farmington?
They
or
lived
both,
in
or
Farmington
bounce around?
until I graduated, and then they moved to almost to Aztec.
Gotcha.
Had okay. a little bit of land. My dad loved horses, and
right. Very, very good. And your and then the family. You've got a brother.
Two brothers,
mm-hmm. and you.
Right.
So you're the only girl growing up.
I'm the oldest, and they call me the boss. So.
Okay. That probably helped you with two brothers.
I don't know.
No. You're not gonna tell any stories about growing up with your brothers, are you?
No.
Okay. Smart. You're smart. See? There you are. That's good.
No, that we just love each other. We are very blessed to have each other to go through this.
That's true. Very true. What's the one thing maybe folks don't realize about maybe your mom? Maybe if they knew your mom or didn't have the honor to know your mom, is there any story about her that you can share with us that maybe talks about the type of person that she was?
She was a very positive person. Nothing got her down. One day I came over there and her computer broke down. I mean, it just totally, everything she had was gone.
Oh, no.
And I drove over there and I thought, okay, today I'm going to see her down because I have never seen her down. And
right.
here I was, I mean, I was older, you know, and I'm like, I've never seen her upset. So I thought, I'm driving over to her house thinking this is going to be the day. And I walk in and she goes, well, it needed to be cleaned out anyway. And she just kept on. So she was a very positive person, very upbeat. And we appreciate that about her.
You bet. You bet. Very true. Well, it's great to remember your mom, Mary Lou Wayburn. She meant a lot to a lot of people.
Thank you.
And we're so grateful that the Historical Society is going to honor her with this event next week.
Right.
At the Farmington Civic Center. And again, it's open to the public. It is put on by the San Juan County Historical Society. And again, a lot of Mary Lou Wayburn's books will be available, or you'll find out how you can order them and learn more about the history of San Juan County. And again, the other guest of honor will be Ann Hillerman. We'll be talking with her in just a few minutes. So, Connie Pruitt, thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for remembering your mom with me. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. My guest this morning here on KSJE. Joining me now to talk a little bit about her appearance at this event next week as part of the San Juan County Historical Society, author Ann Hillerman is joining us this morning. And Ms. Hillerman, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you for talking to me this morning.
Well, thank you. You're a busy lady because, of course, your latest book, The Way of the Bear, was just released, last week. And so I know you've been busy talking about it and making the rounds. And, of course, you'll be here in just a couple of days here in San Juan County as part of this event for the San Juan County Historical Society. And I know a lot of folks are excited to see you and hear you and learn more about this latest book, which really follows, of course, in your father's footsteps.
Well, thank you. I'm excited about it, too. I talked, many years ago, I talked to the San Juan Historical Society, and I still remember it because I learned so much. That's such a wonderful group. I mean, those folks know so much about the Southwest, about San Juan County, and about all kinds of really interesting esoteric stuff that us mystery writers love to hear about, and then we somehow manage to weave it into our stories.
Very true. Very true. And so with this latest story, can you give us a kind of an idea? This is certainly some of the characters are the characters that we're very familiar with over the years, right? A lot of their stories are continuing in this book.
Sure. Thank you. I'd be glad to. So The Way of the Bear is set at the new Bears Ears National Monument. And one reason I used that location is because it's right on the northern edge of the Navajo Nation. And of course, my detectives are Navajo law enforcement people, so I didn't want them to be too far from home. The other thing that really appealed to me about that setting is the richness of archaeological sites and paleontology sites in the Bears Ears region. And I had written about Southwestern archaeology a little bit in my first book, Spider Woman's Daughter. So the Bear's Ears gave me a chance to talk a little bit about paleontology. One of the main characters in the book is an eccentric paleontologist. And as anybody who reads mysteries would suspect, he gets into trouble. And Bernie and Chi are there. They're not really there on assignment. They've gone there for Bernie's kind of on vacation, and Jim Chi has gotten a promotion. And as part of his new duties, he's expected to help a little bit with fundraising. And there's a guy in Bluff who's a big fan of law enforcement who wants to make a donation to the Navajo Police Department. So Chi goes up there to talk to him. But then, of course, one thing leads to another, and they don't really get a vacation. They get involved in all kinds of nefarious deeds and trying to figure out what's going on up there. Anyway, I had great fun with this book. It was one of the first times in a long time that I could actually go to the site I was writing about. As you know, because of the pandemic, the Navajo Nation closed down. And so outsiders like me were not allowed to go on to the Navajo Nation. So with this book, I was able to drive through Monument Valley and Kayenta, Ganado, some of the places that I love to get to the Bears Ears National Monument.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this book and to be in Farmington in just a few days.
Right. And of course, you know, when you come to visit, I mean, the proximity to all these locations that you've been writing about and things like that, do you get any extra connections when you're in this area as opposed to maybe Santa Fe or other parts of the Southwest?
Oh, I always do. It really feels to me like coming home. I have to say, I have deep affection for Farmington. One of my very, very first presentations as an author was at the Farmington Public Library. And the staff there just welcomed me and made me feel like I was an honorary Farmington person. So that memory always sticks with me when I go back to Farmington.
Very, very good. And am I right in my counting, Ann Hillerman, that this is the 25th novel about these characters and kind of about these stories?
Indeed it is. Yeah, my dad wrote, as you know, began the series
right
with The Blessing way back in the early 1970s. So I was just thinking the other day, his main character, Joe Leaphorn, has been at work as a cop for more than 50 years. Pretty darn good, huh?
That's some dedication, I would say. Very, very good. And I know a lot of folks really love these stories, and you're finding more new fans each and every book that comes out, of course. But how important is it to kind of continue on with these characters and with these kind of careers that they're in, right, that your father started? I mean, that's got to be really important to you.
It is. I had never really thought of writing a novel before my dad died. And then I had such deep affection for these characters. I thought, gosh, even though there's nothing I can do about losing my dad, maybe there is something I can do to keep these characters alive. So it's been an enormously interesting and educational experience for me. I've kind of learned how to write novels as I've been writing these novels. And some of the reviewers for The Way of the Bear have said that they think this is the best book yet in the series. And of course, that's what every writer wants to hear, or every person working in the arts wants to hear. You want to think that your newest effort is really the best effort yet, and that you're on that trajectory for improving your skills and also giving the readers more of what they love.
True, very true. Well, and of course, I think a lot would say that, you know, you have kind of risen to the challenge, right, of continuing on in your dad's footsteps a little bit with these additional books in the series.
Well, I would say that. I mean, I feel actually like my dad from time to time sends me some inspiration. Say if I'm at a part in the story where I can't decide if I should go left or right, or if I should back up and take a new tact. Sometimes I'll sleep on it, and when I wake up in the morning, I have a good idea. And I kind of think that's my dad's creative energy is still float. This sounds so woo-woo, but I think it still is out there floating in the universe. And it kind of, when I'm asking for inspiration, it sort of comes back to me. So
I think that sounds fine, because I know a lot of folks really enjoy the stories and certainly enjoy the books that your dad wrote and enjoy the books that you're writing now as well and continuing on with some of these stories and characters and things. And so when you come to talk to the Historical Society this week, what's your message going to be? Will you be talking more about the book, or will you be talking about some other things?
I'm going to talk talk a little bit about how I've used history in my novels and how that idea sort of came to me unexpectedly, but also came to me through some of these lovely talks that I get invited to do. So I'm going to talk about the way I used some parts of New Mexico history in this book and in my other seven novels. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about The Way of the Bear. You know, it's like my new baby, so I'm going to have to brag on it a little bit.
I would think so. That's true. And we expect nothing less. So I think that'll be a great evening for folks to enjoy you and, of course, a tribute to Mary Lou Wayburn, who has been very significant in documenting the history of this area for a very long time until her recent passing. And so I know the Historical Society is thrilled that you're going to be here to talk with them. Again, the event is May 3rd at 6 p.m. here at the Farmington Civic Center, and getting to hear from you. And of course, you'll have books with you. I know that folks will be able to purchase, and you'll maybe sign a couple while you're here, I hope.
I would be glad to. And I'd also be glad to, if people have older books that they would like me to sign, I'd be glad to sign those too.
Wonderful. Well, that will be great. And before I let you go, Ann Hillerman, just a quick mention about Dark Winds, the television program, of course, on AMC that I think is getting a lot of following as well, kind of related to what we're talking about a little bit.
That's right. And the second season will be shown beginning in late July.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be another six episodes, the continuing saga of Jim Chee, Joe Leaporn, and Bernadette Manuelito.
Very wonderful. And so I would think with all of this media attention, it's got to be bringing more folks to learning about your books, your dad's books, and things like that. Are you hearing that as well?
I am. My publisher has what they call a burst, a little advertising logo on the cover of The Way of the Bear. So if people, you know, who've never heard of me or my dad or Tony Hillerman, if they pick up this book, then maybe they'll see that and they'll think, oh, not only is it a book, there's TV shows too.
Very, very true. I don't know who that would be that's never heard of you or your dad, but they must be living under a rock somewhere. But
oh, thanks, Scott. I don't know. Well, you know, there's always people who aren't readers until later in life, and then all of a sudden they discover the joy of using their imaginations to create the characters and follow the stories. So
very true.
I do hear that when I give talks, and I'm always glad to hear that.
Well, there you go. Well, we're so glad for you and your creativity and the books that you have written, and we know there's more to come. And we can't wait to hear you in person in Farmington this week. So thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Ann Hillerman, it's wonderful to speak with you. She will be here in Farmington, of course, at the Farmington Civic Center, coming up, as I mentioned, on May the 3rd, 6 p.m. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.